Sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the heaven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild storm. I am safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of his word, my fetters fell off.
Facebook again today, and it's a technical problem. It's not mine. Everything I did them the best I knew how, but you're here, and I hope that people will come to this market, that's the internet or the radio. Welcome, my friends, to a great broadcast. We have a program today that is so incredibly important. It really is. I could not tell you how important this broadcast is. And, you know, one way or the other, if I have to put it on late, I will put it on Facebook. But they changed everything, and their program just did not work, and I am very sad. But welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We're going to have a great broadcast. I'm here to tell you, we're going to have a great broadcast. And we're going to start today in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the last days. Do you understand that we are in the last days? There is no ifs and ands. There is no question. We are in the last days. We could not be more absolutely in the last days than we are. It's just there. We're just right there. And it's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to know that we're right at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait for him to come. The last days are here. Are you hearing me? The last days are here. And I believe it. Now, let's go to several things that we're going to do today. All right, my all of my radio friends, you're right there. And my internet friends are right there. And so let me ask you to help me. Call some people and get them to listen today. Let's magnify this audience because it is just that overwhelmingly important. It is so important that I just don't know how to say how important it is. The last days are here. I am absolutely convinced the last days are here. And I am so excited. I am so excited. And if I happen to be on Facebook, somebody call and tell me I did all the right things, but they didn't click when I clicked on them. You know, you understand how that is. So you call and help me out, will you? God bless you. Now, let's go to Matthew. The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24. You know, St. Matthew 24 is one of those great chapters in the Bible. I guess if there is a chapter that's greater than Matthew 24, I don't know what it is. It's just that powerful. It's an overwhelming chapter. And in verse 14, it says something that I want to zero in on. And I want you to get on it with me. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, in all the world, it says, in all the world as a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. Now, here is a remarkable verse of scripture that you ought to take heed to. You ought to listen to it. It says very clearly, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, you look at history. Come all the way through church history, all the way through the things that God has said and done, and you'll never find a time until the last, well, how many years, that the gospel, the word of God, could be preached at one time to every nation on the face of the earth. Do you understand that Joseph Chambers sitting here in my office in front of this computer with the camera on me, that I am absolutely preaching to every nation on the face of the earth, that no nation out there with the right technology cannot hear the sermon, cannot hear these things that I'm going to preach today. I get notes from, say, Australia. I get notes from New Zealand. I get notes from South Africa. I get information from some of the different Muslim countries. I get notes from the Philippine Islands. I get notes from South America, from Canada, England. I mean, I'm telling you without a question that Brother Chambers is fulfilling right now the wonderful truth of Matthew 24, verse 14. I am fulfilling that verse. And no generation until this generation had any possibility of doing that as we are now doing it. The Muslim countries wouldn't let a gospel preacher into their country. And they will do everything they can to mute anybody that comes in on any technology into their country. But regardless of how they resist it, it's there. And some of them are getting it. How many? I cannot tell you. They put their lives on the line if they're caught listening to me. I can assure you of that. But I'm there. And that is a absolute fulfillment of a scripture that tells me and tells you that these are the end times. We are living in the end days. We're living in the last of the last. Those words, the last days, actually means the last of the last. the last of the last. Just what it means. And it's overwhelming to me that I have that privilege, and oh, how I want to be on Facebook. I'm sitting here weeping way inside because I've done everything I can do. I mean, the technology has changed week by week. You gotta be a wizard in computer technology to keep up with all the changes. And so I'm dependent on other people. I have to call a man in California, have to call a computer man locally. You know, I have to have help, because I cannot weed my way through all the things that occur in a given week. And I did everything I did to know. I did not turn on the last button because, it's there. It looks perfect. It's got to be right. I should have tried it, I guess, but I wouldn't be able to have done anything about it. You know, that's just the way it is. But you see what the Bible says. Now, do you understand that? This is one of the greatest proofs of the great marvelous truth that these are the last days that I can give you. Jesus said it. Wasn't said by Peter or James or any of the great apostles. Wasn't said by great apostle Paul. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to in all nations, N-A-T-I-O-N-S, in all nations for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what Jesus said. And then shall, I'm telling you, we are in the end of the end. We're in the last of the last. And I'm excited. I want to go in the rapture. I'm 84, but I still want to go in the rapture. And I really kind of believe I will. I believe it's just there. Now, I'm going to give you several things today, one after the other, that prove these are the last days. Now, the first one, of course, is one that I just love, that the gospel shall be preached as a witness to all nations on the face of God's earth. Now, the next one is about the great wealth. Do you understand how great the wealth is today? How every kind of prosperity you can imagine has certainly come to much of the world. Not all of it, of course. We understand that. But to much of the world. So let's go, if we might, to the book of James. The book of James, to chapter 5 and verse 3. And I want to tell you. Now, you already know that the wealth of the world has just exploded. How many billionaires are there now in our world? I remember when people thought it was so exciting to become a millionaire. I mean, that was a big thing. How many millionaires do we have in the world? Well, a millionaire is nothing anymore. It's the billionaires that get all the attention. Our president is a billionaire. It looks like a man's going to oppose him who is also a billionaire. And you got to understand, we are really living in those days. Now, I want you to hear this. God looked at that through James, that great apostle, that great man, James. Half brother of the Lord. He says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were, shall eat your flesh as it was fire. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now, here is a picture of wealth so incredible that God is saying, you've heaped this treasure together, and it's all going to eat your flesh, and it's all for the last time. It will be like fire, he said. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Notice that, the last days. Now, that term last days is a powerful term. It's not in the Bible a lot of times, but I'm giving you several times that it is, and trying to show you that we are there, friend. We are in the last times, the last of the last. And if you've ever got yourself right with God, I beg of you, get yourself right with God. It is in the last days, my dear friends, the last times. And it's thrilling. It's thrilling to be part of that. Now, this treasure, these riches, this wealth, it's overwhelming. And the Bible makes it plain that's what would occur in the last days. You know, God really does know his world. And God really does set the course of his world. And God knows from the beginning the ending. And God knows all these things and how and when they were going to happen. And here we have the prophets all through the Bible telling us of these things that would exist in the last days. These things that would exist, the technology to be a witness with the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations on the face of this earth. What a treasure to hold dear to our hearts. And then to talk about the wealth, such great wealth, such indescribable wealth. I mean, when you think of all the other day, someone told me that the owner of Amazon is now worth, what was it, $168 billion. You know that a billion is a thousand million. You understand that? A billion is a thousand million. Am I right? I think I am. I know it is incredible to think of this level of wealth that our world is now right in the middle of. And almost all of us live better. Look at how I'm dressed. Look at the niceness of this office. Look at this technology that brings me out there to you all over the globe. Look at it. Think about it. And think that God saw it before it happened. God gave his prophets the wisdom to speak of it and to describe it and to have it in front of us and to give us in the Bible a picture of it even before it happened. Now, great, great technology to reach the world. Great wealth, men and women with so much money until it's indescribable the amount of wealth they have. And God said it would be so in the end. He said it would be so in the last days. Remember that scripture I just read from James where he said they heap together treasures for the last days? Are they not heaping them together? Are they not piling them up? Are they not trying their best to get them ready for what's their last days? And they don't really know. They're actually getting ready for God's last days. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy. Another great sign of this end time. And this one is so overwhelming that I almost hate to sit here and read it to you. I really do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And you got to listen to this. A lot of words here, but each of these words describe it. This know also that in the last days, again, that term, last days, I'm talking about the last days, perilous, which means dangerous. Well, we wouldn't need to go any further. Dangerous times. These are the most dangerous times. You cannot imagine a time in human history when things were so dangerous, when they are so on fire. Look at the political arena. Look at the educational arena. Look at the religious arena. Look at all the different expressions of present society. And everywhere you look, it's dangerous. It is literally dangerous. I am amazed. I just read today on Drudge Report, and it talked about the plagues of locusts that was devouring the crops in Africa. Plagues of locusts. Locusts. I tried to read the full article and couldn't get it up on my internet to see just how bad it might be. Well, you know, this disease that's come out of Asia, out of China. I mean, it is dangerous. Who knows how far it's going? Who knows? I'm telling you, these are dangerous times. But listen, for men shall be covetous. Listen to that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Listen now. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemous. Unthankful. And unholy. Listen to this. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I've never seen such a love for self. I mean, I am amazed dealing with people, trying to win them to Christ, trying to help people become soul winners, trying to give the people in the church a burden for a lost world. And I'm telling you, it's like almost a waste of time because people love themselves. They're so caught up in this love for number one. number one, or at least the family. And so he said lovers of their own selves. He said they're covetous. He said they're boasters. He said they're proud. They're blasphemers. They're unthankful and they're unholy. And disobedient to parents. I almost missed that one. Disobedient to parents. Where do you find people today who care a lick for their parents? They care a lick for grandfathers and grandmothers. There are few, yes, there are few, but there are many that just don't have time. They love themselves. They're caught up in themselves. And so they become disobedient to parents. They're unthankful. They're unholy. You know, when you look at how unthankful people are, they just love their things and their wealth, and they're unthankful. Now, this is the last days. He said these would be the last days. This know also that in the last days, did you get that term? The last of the last, perilous times shall come without natural affection. Now think about that one, without natural affection. Oh, I'm telling you, the unnaturalness of this world, the sex world, has gone insane. Unnatural sex has taken over the globe. I'm telling you, unnatural sex acts and self contacts. I mean, they're filthy. Let me tell you something. The devil is really taking over our world. When you talk about the unnatural sex, that's satanic. That's right out of the pit of hell. That is such an abuse of the human body that God created in His own image, in His own likeness. And we've taken this body that God made in His own image, and we've filled it with unnatural conduct, unnatural sex acts, unnatural attitudes. Everything about our world has become almost unnatural. No longer as we old time. I mean, I'm 84. Can you imagine what I knew, what I saw, and what I lived in when I was first converted to Christ in 1952? Can you imagine those years in the church from 52, 62, 72? Those years that Mom and I, my Juanita, were pastoring, and it was a different world. But now the world is so unnatural. And he said, unnatural. And we are living in a world that is unnatural. False accusers, they're incontinent, they're fierce. They're even despisers of those that are good. Do you know how much the world hates people that live pure, godly lives? That literally will say to their children, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be involved in that. Yeah, that's not how you should be living. You ought to be going to church. You ought to be living for Christ. You ought to be dedicated to the things of God. I mean, these are things that to us are natural. But he said unnatural. False accusers, incontinent, fierce. Listen, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look at the church world. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Is that not where we are? A form of godliness, denying the power thereof. It doesn't change them. They say, well, I'd like to be an old-fashioned Christian like you are, Reverend Chambers, but I couldn't live that way. I like the new way. I like the way that God don't pay no attention to our sins. Whatever we do, they already been forgiven. There are people even preaching that God forgives all your future sins when you repent and get saved, and that whatever you do after that, it's already been forgiven before you do it. You know that's not the Bible. You don't have to. Who do you need to ask if that's really the Bible? Ask your own noggin. Ask your own head. You got to have more wisdom and understanding than that. Fierce, traitors, fierce, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I said, did you hear that? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. You take the scripture today, and you go whenever you get a break in a little while. Don't do it while I'm preaching. I want you to hear me. Listen to me. I want you to read this second book of Timothy chapter 3. Second book of Timothy, chapter 3. And read these scriptures and take each word and think about what you see all around you, and that wickedness has just taken complete dominance. Now, I plan to preach in the morning on the power of Christ to set men free from demons. Demon deliverance. Demon deliverance. Did you know that much of our world is now under demon control? You got to understand that this unnatural sex world is demonic. The unnatural sex acts are demonic. They lead to demon possession. They lead to complete demon control. Take, for instance, the transgender movement. That little boys can decide they're little girls if they want to. And that's a natural thing. That is demonic. That is from the devil. You got to hear me when I tell you that is satanic. That is satanic, and they need to be delivered. I went to a restaurant one night this week, and here come a young man walking in with, I presume, was his dad, and you could tell he was out of his mind. You could see that his eyes, he was so possessed and controlled. I think he must have been transgender in his thinking, and it's made a crazy person out of him. And that's true everywhere you look. Did you know that sodomy is demonic? That any person who gets involved in sodomy or lesbianism will shortly, they may not be possessed of demons at the beginning, but they will be possessed shortly. Demons will take them over, and they will be controlled by demon spirits. And I'm dedicating myself to see demons, to see people delivered from demons, to see them cast out. They have no right, and the blood of Jesus will break their power in a moment. I said the blood of Jesus will break their power in a moment. And I'm dedicating myself in this closing hour to see many people delivered from demon powers, to see those transgenders delivered from demon powers, to see the sodomites and lesbians delivered from demon powers. See, this revival that's coming is going to cause multitudes of these people to flock to our churches to get deliverance. They're not going to come for the gospel that's being preached in many places, but from the old-fashioned Bible, line on line, precept on precept. That's the only way to declare the Bible. It's line on line, precept on precept. Did you know that Isaiah, in 4 verses of Scripture, in Isaiah 28, used the term line on line and precept on precept each 4 times? 8 times altogether in 4 verses, Isaiah 28. I mean, letting us know that the Bible is not a book you can treat with your own dissecting and your own denying or receiving. It is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Now I got to read these verses again because this is the sign of the end. This is absolute proof that we are in the last days. Are you hearing me? Absolute proof. It says this, know also that in the last days dangerous, says perilous, but dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, lovers of pleasure more than love. I mean, on and on, he gives a picture that you can see it everywhere you look. There's no mistaking of this. It is no mistaking. It is the last days. I said it is the last days. Now, we started with the last days of Revelation, that God's word would be heard on every continent by every nation on the face of this earth. And we know that's come to pass. Then we talked about the wealth. James talked about the wealth heaped together for the last days. Notice that. Heaped together. I got to get as much wealth as I can get. I got to get as rich as I can get. I got to have more money. I got to be able to retire with comfort and not have to worry about wanting anything. I mean, on and on, this wealth world has really taken possession of the world. I hope it hasn't taken possession of you. I hope you're not living for money and living for wealth. I like to give mine for God and for His kingdom. A few days ago, this church sent $5,000 to missions in Haiti and Mexico. $5,000. You say you got extra money? No. That money comes in from our people week by week. They give a little for missions and then we send it to the countries. We're here for the cause of the kingdom, my friend. We're not here to heap together wealth for the last days. We're here to heap together souls for the last days. That's all I'm interested in. Now, You've saw three things that are signs of the last days. Let me give you number four. Number four is scoffers. Scoffers. First Peter 3:3. 1 Peter 3:3. You gotta read that. Now, I didn't mark my scriptures today. I'd rather you see me turning the pages. I think that makes me a little more powerful for you to see me turning the pages so that you know we're in the Bible. We're not in my book. We're in his book. Hallelujah. We're not in my book. We're in his book. In 1 Peter 3:3. Now, you got to hear this. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. 1 Peter 3:3. Now, come on here, Reverend. Help me find it. 1 Peter 3:3. All right. 1 Peter 3. I didn't have it. Maybe I should have marked it. You reckon? Do you reckon I should have marked it? Very likely. All right, here it is. 2 Peter 3:3. One little mistake. Don't let yourself make too many of them if it has to do with your future. I promise you. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The last days scoffers. Do you have any idea of the multitude of scoffers that are out there scoffing about the coming of the Lord and scoffing about the end times? I remember some weeks ago, I was doing a program on the millennial reign. That the millennial reign could actually be here in 7 years. All we got to have is the rapture and then 7 year tribulation period. And then Jesus comes back to the earth and set up his kingdom to reign 1,000 years. And a preacher calls me and he's on his church phone. And so the first thing I see is the name of his church. And I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's close enough that he can hear me. And he was just upset with me. And he laid it on me for preaching such stuff as I was preaching. Because he didn't believe that Jesus was coming. Scoffers, they're everywhere. The scoffers are one of the biggest things out there in this hour. People are scoffing at the possibility of a rapture. People going up in the air to heaven. That just blows their little minds. And on, there's so many things that people scoff at today. But I'm here to tell you, every bit of these things are going to happen. They're going to take place as sure as Joe Chambers sits here. They are on their own God's agenda, and whatever's on God's agenda will be fulfilled. So, scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Are you listening? Are you aware of some of those scoffers? You go to a church that scoffs at the rapture, that scoffs at the 7 year tribulation period, that scoffs at the millennial reign. Do you go to a church that's post-millennial instead of pre-tribulational? I mean, they're post-millennials, they're all millennials, they're all kinds of millennials. Anybody denying anything but just the simplicity of the Bible. The Bible is so simple. It's very plain. I mean, I'll read 1 Peter 2 in a little bit, and it tells what's going to happen before that great and notable day of the Lord's come. I mean, the Lord's coming is notable in the Bible. It is a big and wonderful truth. But there are so many scoffers that just don't take the Bible literal. It's been penknifed. They go to these theological institutions. I meant to tell you, some years ago, I was speaking at a big pastor's conference in a big state, the state of Florida. And I was speaking to the whole pastors of the whole state of Florida. And there was another man there that we'd been good friends. And I thought he was a good man. He was from the School of Theology in Cleveland, Tennessee. And we're talking about his part was counseling, helping pastors learn to counsel their members, teaching pastors how to counsel people. And he said, now, there are people going to come to you that are into oral sex. I mean, husbands and wives who are involved in unnatural sodomy. Unnatural sodomy. He says, now you got to quit being judgmental of that. And that's a choice that two people can make. And I like to fell out of my seat. I like to fell out of my chair. I don't remember how I handled this. It took me by such surprise that I didn't handle it as heavy as I should have. I should have been prepared. But that's what's happening in churches. Churches are teaching unnatural sex in among their very people. Now, Brother Chambers, how could that happen? I don't know. I mean, look at how they're in. You got, how many homosexuals now do you have that are pastors? And in some places, they in the top realm of the church hierarchy, and it's just coming like a storm. Why, Brother Chambers? The end times. We are seeing a fulfillment of the end times, exactly like the Bible says. Do you understand that? Now, here's this scripture you want to remember. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Easy to remember, although I forgot. I had 1 Peter instead of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. Knowing this also, that there shall come in the last days. Now notice those terms. Last days. Scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, the old fogies have died. You know, a lot of people want me to die. They literally want old Joe Chambers to get out of the way and let the new folks come along and take over. But they don't get involved to teach the society these great truths as I'm doing. I'm a man that I'm fearless. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know whether I'm going to be eliminated before the Lord comes. I don't know what's going to take place, but I'm not worried about it in the old. I've never had enough sense to be scared of anything, and I'm glad I haven't, because God is in control. The angels, you got to get past the angels before you can destroy me. I mean, we have got to get the truth to people that there are scoffers in these last days. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? I'll tell you where it is in the Bible. If anybody says to you, where's the promise of his coming? Just say in the Bible. Take them to Matthew 24. Take them to Luke 21. Take them, you know, to the book of Revelation. Take them anywhere you want to take them. The book is full of it. It's full of the coming of the Lord. It's one of those great truths. It's one of those great truths. The day of many scoffers. Are you aware of how many scoffers there are? Now, the day of mass inventions that are technological miracles, that are technological miracles. I want you to go with me. We got a preacher be here in 2 weeks. Brother Jeff Mayo will be preaching here in our church 2 weeks from today. Remember that. Now, 2 weeks from today, the very first day of March, that's a Sunday. Brother Jeff will be here. You can have lunch with us on the ground. We're calling it a little bit of camp meeting. Just one day, a little bit of camp meeting. That's March the 1st. You ought to come. He's going to preach from this text, but I'm going to read a little bit of it in the book of Nahum. In the book of Nahum, and I love this. You know, the Bible is such a marvelous book. I hope I can find Nahum without it being a difficulty to me today. Usually I can, but not every time, because, you know, I'm just, you know what, I'm just plain human. I guess you understand that, don't you? You knew that I was before I said it. Well, that's not quite where it's at. Let's get over here where it's supposed to be. There we go. We're close. Hallelujah. So, the book of Nahum, this is a marvelous passage of Scripture, and you ought to get in it for me. Here it is, Nahum chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, you got to hear this. This is technology. Oh, you say, I'm used to that. Well, I am too. But it's still marvelous that it was said about 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, the shield of the mighty men is made ready, or made red. The violent men are in scarlet. Listen now, the chariots shall be with flaming torches. The chariots shall be, what is a car? It's a chariot. I mean, everybody knows a car is a chariot. We ride in them. We take other people in them. We go places in them. So the chariots shall be with flaming torches. The flaming torches in the day of his preparation. Now, you got to get the scripture. In the day of God's preparation. In the day of Christ's coming. In the day of the end. in the last days when God is getting ready to final everything and to bring it all to a close. When everything's going to be put to His glory and judgment is coming upon the world. In the day of His preparation, the chariots shall be with flaming torches. The chariots shall be with flaming torches. Your automobile, your big truck, your vehicles, and there's some big ones out there, believe me. And all of them are flaming torches. They run on fire. They run on fire. Their exhaust is an exhaust. It's an exhaust pipe. An exhaust pipe. They would be like flaming torches. I mean, it's a perfect picture of automobiles and trucks and all the vehicles. And it goes on to say, and the verse 4, the chariots shall rage in the streets. Do you ever hear anybody talking about the rage on the in the highways and byways today? How angry people get if you don't move quickly when the light changes colors? How quickly they get angry with you if you're in their way and they're trying to make a turn and you're in their way? Do you understand? He says, this is what he says, the chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall juttle, that means wreck. They shall wreck one against another in the broadways. Look at our broadways from here to Gastonia. You got 8 highways, 8 lanes, 4 each way. And they're broadways. And the Bible knew that long ago. I mean, when this was written, they were traveling on, at the least, streets that were paved with rocks. That was the best they had. That was the Romans' day, and that was long after this. I'm telling you, friends, the chariots raging in the streets, juttling one against another. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. I mean, I could go down the highway sometimes doing 60, and somebody passes me like I'm sitting still, running like the lightning. I mean, the Bible is perfectly fulfilled in these scriptures of Nahum. And he said it would be, this would happen in the day of his preparation. I mean, we're talking about our day being the last days. We've seen one thing after the other that tell us we are living in the last days. There is no doubt about it. It is an absolute fact. You can't read this Bible and not know that we're living in the last days. You just can't. The only way to say we're not living in the last days is say you don't believe the Bible. I mean, that's all you can do. You got to say you don't believe the Bible. You got to quit believing the scripture. You got to quit believing what the book says. You got to put it on another level. That's all you can do, because this Bible is so plain. We are living in the last days. Now, I can go on and on. I'm trying my best to make sure I get these points that are so important. I want you to get this one. Go with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Go with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew. And I want you to look at verses 24, chapter 24, 6 and 7. I heard this preach years ago, but it has really become big time now. It says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he describes more. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Now notice this, and pestilence. Now, you take the word pestilence. Do a little research. And you're going to find it's speaking about various fevers, various infectious things occurring. Various things that kill people by the hundreds and sometimes the thousands. And there's been cases, the millions. Well, we are living in that day. Look at what's happening right now coming out of China. Look at how it's got the whole world trembling. The health departments of every country are all in great stress trying to come up with how we're going to handle this. You got people sitting in airports and on planes, sitting in planes and sitting on ships. And you got all kinds of things happening out there because of this sudden infectious disease that developed and came out of China. Now, how bad does it get? How dark is it going to be before it's over? I don't know. I have no way to tell you. But I can tell you it's dangerous. And I can tell you it's a fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says the day would come when sickness and disease and all the different attacks against the human body would be so out of control. You know as well as I know that it's dangerous anymore to go to hospitals because the infections that spread in hospitals are overwhelming. I did a study of that a couple of years ago, and I could not believe how many people die from infections that are got in the hospital. My wife died from an infection she got in the hospital. I mean, there is no ifs and ands about it. I mean, I was so bothered and hurt, and I wanted to get involved and get an attorney and go to the hospital, but I knew it was a waste of my time. It's happening to everybody, and so I just put it on the altar to God. I'm telling you, we live in that kind of day. I hear people say all the time, well, I would go to the hospital, but I'm really afraid to go. Because if I don't get it out here, I might get it there. Well, we're not putting the hospitals down. We're just saying that it's everywhere. I mean, infection is so vicarious and so able to hide without being seen. Just today, I was reading about the people who they say are carrying this new infection, and you can't even tell it, and that they can carry it before they're even sick, before they've got any fever, before anything's wrong. You know, what can they put it to rest? I don't know. All I can tell you is we live it in the last days. We are living in the last days. Never has there been a time in human history that everything in this Bible can be brought to one package and say these are the last days. That's just, you can say that, and if you don't say it, it's because you're not willing to say it, and because you don't want people to think maybe you know, some people don't want anybody to think they might be a little bit odd. I don't mind being told that I'm a little bit odd. I mean, this is what's happening. Our world's full of it. How bad is it going to get? I have no idea, but I tell you, it's a dangerous time. It is a dangerous time. And if you've ever lived clean and close to Calvary and done the mind of the Lord God, it certainly is the day that you ought to. Now, I've got one more thing. I've given you six things. Now, have you got them written down? I want you to remember them. They'll be on the front page of Facebook when I get it up. I hope I can. I really do, because there are so many people that need to hear this. We need to shake the church to its very soul. We need to shake our people and our friends until their minds think, until they understand where we are and how close we are to the glorious day of the King's coming. Now, I believe as we wait the coming of Jesus, the rapture, we can look for it any day, any moment, any hour. I'm expecting it any time. But while I'm waiting for the rapture, I don't intend to be sitting somewhere twiddling my thumbs. I believe a Holy Ghost revival is in the making. I believe any moment now, I'm looking for it tomorrow. I'm looking for it today while I'm doing this broadcast. But I believe a great awakening is at the door. And I am so excited about it. A great awakening. I mean, an awakening that will move people from their points of carelessness to seek the face of God. Now, let me bring it to you. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith who? God. You want to seek a high authority than that? You can't find him. In the last days it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. A Holy Ghost revival is coming. It will be greater than what happened on the day of Pentecost. It will be greater than what happened on the day of Pentecost. Cannot be less than great, because in that day, the population of the earth was microscopic compared to today. And 3,000 were saved the first day, and 5,000 were saved a few days later. And then multitudes were saved, both men and women, even priests of the Jewish faith. And multitudes were getting saved. That's about to happen. That's going to take place. I'm telling you, all these things happening in the end times, God is not going to forget the things that are of grave importance to him, and that's the souls of men. God is concerned about the souls of men. God is concerned about the unsaved. And I love it. And you got to hear this. I'm going to be reading this a lot from now on. Until the rapture comes, I'm telling you, I'm going to be reading this. in the book of James. The book of James, verse 7. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, many of you out there that want the Lord to come. Well, my Bible says you're to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. You're to look for it. You'd expect it any minute. There's nothing's got to happen for it to take place. You must understand that, but be patient. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. Now, who is the husbandman? That's God the Father. Jesus said that in the book of John chapter 15. It said, my Father is the husbandman, and I am the vine, and you're the branches. Remember that? John 15, 1, the Father is the husbandman. Jesus said, I am the vine. And he said, we, you, the saints, are the branches. So we know that God is the husbandman. There is no question. God is the husbandman. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The Lord Jesus, the Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus, the Father himself, God the Creator, said, be patient until our James said, be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the Father, the husbandman, waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. The early, that was Pentecost. The latter, that's the new Pentecost. That's the coming Pentecost. That's the coming break forth of Holy Ghost revival. It has got to happen. It has got to happen. I mean, James is preaching after the day of Pentecost. So he had to be talking about something future to himself. Let's say he lived in 60 A.D. And it could have been different. I don't know the exact date of James's death. But I know that James was one of the leaders of the early church. He was a Holy Ghost filled man. He was a man that wrote this book of James. He was noted among the leaders of the church of that day. And he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early. He was getting the early rain right then. They was in the middle of the early rain. James was part of the early rain. So we don't have any question that the book of Acts is very plain that that was the early rain. And now he says, be patient until the latter rain. Because the precious husband, the precious husbandman waiteth for the fruit of the earth until he received the early and latter rain. So the latter rain is what we are expecting now. It's very clear that it has not occurred, and it could happen any moment. And I read to you from Acts 2 that talked about the exact same thing. He would pour out his spirit in the last days. That's the last of the last. So we know this latter rain in James 5 and this statement by Peter in Acts 2 are bound together with cords that cannot be separated. So we're looking for the glorious latter rain, the coming of the mighty Holy Spirit to sweep over this earth and literally millions get saved. I am looking forward to millions getting saved. I want to be in the middle of it. I'm saying, Lord, please let me stay till it starts. Let me stay here till it starts. If you want to take me home after it starts, then I'm ready to go anytime. I'll go before if that's what you say, Lord. But I want to be here when this latter rain starts. Because it is coming just as sure as I sit here. I'm looking for it to start any minute. I'm going to be in the middle of it. I am going to be in the middle of it. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I'm nothing. I'm just an old Bible-loving man. That's all I can say for Joe Chambers. I love every word in this book. I've stood line on line, precept on precept, my whole ministry. I've never varied from the Bible one iota. We did 11 videos on the false anointing that went all over the world. They got translated into many different languages. I don't have any idea how many different languages. We have been told to stand for the truth of this Bible, line on line, precept on precept. And if God uses the Paul Creek Church in any way, if God uses this ministry in any way, there's one reason he does it. And that's because we believe in the Bible line on line and precept on precept. And when this revival starts, and if I get to speak to the media and speak to people of any broad a section of people. I promised to tell them. I promised God to tell them over and over. It's line on line, precept on precept. Any church out there can be part of this coming revival. But one thing is required. You must go back to line on line and precept on precept. You must get rid of all these hairy doctrines, all these escape routes, all of these cheap things that are being preached in pulpits, all of the emotionalism that's taken over the Pentecostal churches, and more important to people than the moving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the mighty working of God. And you must get back to line on line and precept on precept. That's the only answer for this great revival that's coming. Are you with me now? Do you understand that we are living in the last days? It is now. The last days are here. No doubt about it. I'm telling you, as absolute assured as I know how to be, I've stayed before God now nearly 2 years. We spend 1 to 3 hours a day on our face and now trying to get our minds so pure and trying to depend so utterly on the blood of Jesus to make us pure and holy and to live full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, the hour is here. We are near any moment. We don't know when that rapture is going to take place. We're not going to try to set dates. We don't even know when this revival is going to start. I'm not going to set no dates. I'm just looking for it any minute. I'm looking for it at hand. Hallelujah. I read about the revival in the hybrid islands. I read about the great awakening at other places around this earth. I read about some that's happened in America. Oh, there's been some great awakenings. And all of them were part of the early rain. They were part of God's visiting and of God's ministry. But the latter rain is set apart as a specific time. Right here at the end. The last days. Last days. When it comes to prepare the church for the rapture. Prepare the church for setting up the kingdom more than anything else. People are going to get saved after the rapture. There are multitudes getting saved in the book of Revelation. But oh, the price they have to pay. Oh, the cost of getting saved after that rapture. My friend, if you knew the cost of getting saved after the rapture, you wouldn't dare want to wait. You wouldn't dare want to wait. You'd want to get ready right now so you could go in that rapture. You still, the rapture hasn't occurred, so you can get ready. But you're not going to get ready at a moment's notice after the trumpet sounds. You're either going to be ready when that trumpet sounds, or you're not going to go in that rapture. Are you listening to me? Now, let's go back. I want to conclude in the book of Acts. I want to make sure you get yourself ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I can't think of anything more exciting than to be part of this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I really can't. I want to be so full of the Spirit that it's like a river. And you know, Jesus said in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, notice, as the scripture have said, he was quoting the Bible. And I have documented that he was quoting, Ezekiel 47. If you want to read about that river, go to Ezekiel 47. It's right there, clear as a bell. I say clear as a bell. It's actually spoken of in beautiful language and types and shadows. But that the Old Testament always spoke in types and shadows. See, the Old Testament, the new is concealed in the old, but the old is revealed in the new. So when Ezekiel wrote Ezekiel 47, he concealed it in the language of types and shadows. But when Jesus spoke in John 7, he unveiled that concealing and said, it shall be like rivers of living water springing up in your bellies. I mean, you will be full of the Spirit. This spoke he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But he was going to give it as soon as he got back to the Father, pour it out upon that early church. Well, I brought you some wonderful things today. Now, I meant long ago to tell you, call me if you have a question. You got 5 minutes, so grab your phone. Grab your phone if you'd like to call. Let's see how long we got here. Let's make sure we got 5 minutes. 5 minutes to take 2 or 3 calls. Call 704-391-0588, would you? 704-391-0588. I want to talk to you. I really do. I want you to understand that this is going to happen. And I want you to get yourself ready. I want you to get yourself ready. Would you please, in the name of the Lord, call if you have a question. I will do my best to answer you. I will do it with all my heart. I will be sincere. I won't play no games with you. I promise you, I care about you. You are very, very important to me. You understand that? You are very, very important to me. And it will be a joy. It will be a joy to try to answer your question. The lines are open, 704-391-0588. If anybody has a question you want to ask me, and while you're calling and asking your question, I want to read on in Acts 2, this great passage, this know also that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Listen to that. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Man, I can't wait till the young people full of the Holy Ghost begin to prophesy in our churches. I want to prophesy in Myers Park Baptist over in Myers Park section and the Presbyterian over there. First Baptist uptown. All the churches of our city. I want the Holy Ghost to be poured out under the preacher. Stand up and say, I've departed from the Bible. But this morning we're going to go straight back to the scripture. And I'm going to preach to you what the Bible says. It won't be what I learned in a theological school. It'll be what I read in the Bible yesterday or all week this week. And the churches will begin to preach the truth. Or if they don't, they'll be just eliminated. Any church that doesn't go back to the truth will be eliminated. Only churches that will survive that day will be those who believe the truth. All right, my phone is ringing. You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, I guess they dialed and I didn't hear them. Hang up, please, and call back. How did I miss that? I can't believe I did. Maybe somebody's on the phone. I don't know. But I know I didn't see it. Grab your phone. I want to help you. I want you to call, and we'll do our best to be a blessing to you. Because we care about you. We care about you. You are important to us. I said you're important to us. You're on the air. May I help you, please? You're on the air? Somebody dial me. Are you going to come on the air? Nope. They are not. Anybody else want to call? I'll do my best. I've got it where I can hear you here. And I will do my best to talk to you and help you. We are right there. We're at the coming of the Lord. How many of you know that? How many of you believe these are the last days? Anybody out there believe we are really in the last days? When he will pour out his spirit upon all. Oh, I can't wait for this revival. All of these signs in the last days. And to think that the greatest and biggest and most wonderful one is a new day of Pentecost. A new day of church revival. A new day of church awakening. A new day of biblical words, biblical truth coming back afresh to the human heart. Can you imagine anything more wonderful than that? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Are you there? Can I help you, please? Well, I do not know why I am not getting the things to. I'll work on it. You know, sometimes it's me because I get so excited. I'm sitting here chomping at the bits. I'm so excited about what's about to happen. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Any moment now, Jesus will come in all of his splendor and his beauty and his power and his grace. And I'm telling you, isn't nothing so wonderful as this coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is as sure as I'm sitting here, my friend. The coming of the Lord is as sure as I'm sitting here. He is coming. It's going to be a glorious time, and I want you to be ready. I want you to get ready. Now tell every friend you got about this message. Please tell them.
Speaks, you'll know the to Jesus only, and He will drive away the gloom. Oh, yes, Jesus is the one. Yes, He's the only one. Does let Him have His way. Just because He loves you so.